I was a professional certified meteorologist and a synoptic analyst, and God called me to preach. I never could understand why. I was probably the least unlikely candidate you would ever suspect. But he did. So I went back to the Missionary Baptist Seminary and I enrolled, got my degrees in theology. This church called me while I was in seminary, and I drove back and forth for the last 2 years. Then I graduated from the seminary in Little Rock, took some postgraduate courses, went to the University of Arkansas at Little Rock for a while. Then I came up to Dardanelle, enrolled in Arkansas Tech. And there I took 12 semester hours of special teacher's courses so I could teach in a public school. And then I took 4 years of geology. When I look back on it now, I know why. A lot of times when you are called into God's work, it's kind of a mysterious thing at first. God knows where he's taking you. But after you've been taken there, you can look back and make a pretty objective analysis of what God's purpose was. God doesn't need me, and God doesn't need any of you, but we need God. And so 30 years ago, I began to teach what I was taught as a child, as a boy, growing up in Missionary Baptist churches. I'm 72 years old now, so we didn't have an atomic bomb, thermonuclear weapons, high-tech weapons of war. We didn't have weapons of mass destruction. And the preachers that I was taught and trained under were just country farmers from behind the plow, which I thank God for. They didn't have any elaborate ideas. They just took the Bible and what it said. I've often wondered how we ever survived back up in the hills of northern Arkansas at a church my great-great-great-great-grandfather organized in 1843. Don't know how we ever survived. All we had was the King James translation and the Holy Spirit and the ability to read. Those old preachers showed me countless numbers of scriptures that indicated God would do the destroying of the earth, and he would do it with the earth. These scriptures were undeniable. They just kept saying the same thing over and over again, and there are countless numbers of them in the Bible. I'm going to share a couple of them with you this morning, a few, but I assure you there are hundreds more. So 30 years ago, I started doing my geological exposition of the second coming of Christ. I did it in this church. Pretty soon, I began to get invitations from all over the world. Didn't really want to do it. I was happy here. I taught school, Dardanelle High School, taught chemistry, physics, earth science, physical science. I was certified to teach those, taught biology. But it wasn't God's will that I keep doing that. I was perfectly happy here. I was a teacher in a public high school. I pastored this church and was retired from the National Security Agency. So as far as the flesh was concerned, I had it made. But then, for the last 28 years, I've taught this thing all over the world. I've taught it in Alaska and Hawaii, in Romania, in Uganda, in Kenya and Africa. I've taught it in Lithuania. I've taught it everywhere. I've been in over 800 Missionary Baptist churches and presented a geological exposition of the second coming of Christ. I've told people what was going to happen during the tribulation period. I've made a case using all those scriptures to prove that God intends to do his own destroying with his own weapon, the earth itself. We're not going to have a thermonuclear holocaust. When this tribulation period is finally over and it's finished, people are going to look at what God did and they're going to remember it for 1,000 years. Now this morning I'm going to go back and show you the very first lecture, the very first thing I ever taught in this series, because the tribulation period is coming on us. You may not believe this. You may not think it's true. Then why should I present it? Because when it happens, you're going to remember. What happened in the East Indies a week ago did not surprise me in the least. I have told people it would happen for 28 years. I never knew which fault line it would occur on, but it had to occur. During the tribulation period, you're going to have hundreds of these occurring all over the earth. You say, well, you just came up with that idea because of what happened. I've been teaching that for 28 years. It finally happened. Now, I'm not trying to scare you into doing anything, but I warn you, whatever you're going to do with the Lord, about the Lord, or for the Lord, you better get after it. Did I know it was going to happen right here? No, I didn't. It could have happened here. Could have happened here. Could have happened along any of these subduction zones. But it happened here. I've taught about tsunamis for 28 years. I've taught how they weight and the shifting of the crust of the earth and how islands move and how it causes the earth's axis to wobble. I've taught it for 28 years. And I've taught that all the islands and mountains would move in the tribulation period. And I've shown you numerous scriptures that state that. I've been very consistent. I've taught it all over the world. I hope the people remember whether they believe it or not. This is a subduction zone, and right here is where the crust of the earth slipped and the islands moved. The tsunami was generated, and I've shown you how they're formed many times. These are the earthquakes from 1963 to 1998. Each little tiny pinpoint is an earthquake. They cut out the edges of the tectonic plates. I've talked about tectonic plates for 28 years. I had to teach people in missionary Baptist churches about them, because they were considered to be signs and not of God. God made this earth. God made the tectonic plate. God owns, operates, and controls this earth. He's used it before. He'll use it again. This one occurred right here. In this thick cluster, the islands actually moved as the tectonic plate moved. And so I've covered that this week in tremendous detail, and I'll continue to cover it as the weeks progress. Are we in the tribulation period? No. How far away is it? No one knows for sure. But I'll guarantee you it's close. I'm not trying to scare you into serving the Lord. I'm trying to get you to realize that God is very real. His Son is very much His Son. He is coming soon. And between now and the time He comes, we're going to have an ever-increasing number of tsunami and earthquakes. We have for the last 28 years. Most people don't even keep up with them, and there are so many of them in the last 15 years that they don't even report all of them in papers or on the news. Earth's groaning and travail will soon accelerate. This isn't something new. Ever since the fall of man, and a sense of the flood, God's whole creation, the earth, everything on it, under it, and above it, has been groaning and travailing in pain together until now. This groaning and travail that we see now is intermittent, off and on, but in the tribulation period, it's going to be the greatest holocaust that man has ever seen. The word creation is katithesis, which means all that which was created. And in this context, refers to all that God created, including the earth, and all that is on it and in it. I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I believe God made the heaven and the earth. And I believe many of the things He wrote in His prophecies had to do with his manipulating the very earth that he created to fulfill his own prophecies by his own power. The last massive groaning and travail and pain by earth occurred when man had reached such a state of utter degradation in ungodly morality that God deemed it necessary to bring judgment on the human race, and did it by using his creation, the earth, to bring it to pass. Don't think I just made that up. I've been teaching it for 28 years all over the world. God used his earth to destroy man who dwelt on it. He destroyed man with the earth. Genesis 6:5 and 6:13, before the flood. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination and the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. You ever watch these programs on television? You know how many different pornography movies there are? Do you know how many different varieties and brands there are of lesbianism, homosexuality, ungodliness, immoral conduct, thoughts that are wicked continuously? Well, that's the way it was before the flood. Verse 13. Genesis 6:13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. We don't use the Ten Commandments anymore in our judiciary system. It's what they were established on. The only way to control a carnal man, and it doesn't control him completely, is to make the punish appropriate to the crime. And that stops, or at least severely limits, the violence that's continually been growing since we decided that the commandments of God should not be the basis of our legislative law. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. They had weapons in Noah's day. Oh, they weren't as sophisticated as ours today. They had bows and arrows and swords and different things. And they had plenty of different types of things. They could all have killed one another. The population of the world wasn't that great at that time. It was less than a billion. It's a very small number of people. And they could have killed one another. God could have let them use their own weaponry to fulfill his prophecies. He could have used their ingenuity and had the last man fall upon his sword. But God chose to use what he had made to create man, to destroy man whom he had made. My comment on this verse, which I placed in the key of the bottomless pit more than 25 years ago. It isn't just like I've done this in over 800 churches and 21 different seminaries. It isn't like I've traveled all over the world and did it by word of mouth. I've written 4 books. And in these books, I'm consistent, and they were written back in the 70s. My comments on this verse, which I placed in the key of the bottomless pit more than 25 years ago, and the one which follows it, are quoted from an extract from the book as follows. Begin quote from book. Now, if you think I'm guilty here of tooting my own horn, that's not the case here at all. I want you to know this isn't something that all of a sudden I've just decided, well, I'm going to preach on this because of the terrible tsunami. Quite frankly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner. But it's one of the surest indications that the second coming of Christ is near. This is a direct quote written more than 25 years ago from that book. We're advised repeatedly in the New Testament, as it was in the days of Noah. The days of Noah, he said, I will destroy them with the earth. We're advised repeatedly in the New Testament, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Please recall the magnitude of this first great tribulation in which only 8 people survived. Noah, his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. The rest being destroyed by water. That wasn't too difficult in that time because that was the world of the Adamos that was flooded. Please observe in verse 13 that God, not man, I will destroy. God did the destroying. And please note, it was not done with man's help or technology. I will destroy them with the earth. God used his own natural creation to to destroy mankind with water. How did God bring it to pass? Remember, I'm quoting directly from something that I wrote more than 25 years ago. So if you're getting the idea that all of a sudden this local yokel preacher has come up with this idea he's going to whop on the American public because of the terrible tsunami that's occurred in East Indies, you're wrong. This is something I've been teaching for 28 years. Genesis 7:11. How did God bring it to pass? How did he do it with the earth? Genesis 7:11-12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. For a long time, I tried to tell people for 28 years, well, for the first 15 of it, that there were springs, fountains of water all over the ocean seafloor. It's hot water. It comes up along all the tectonic plate boundaries. Finally, they started discovering it. Before the flood, there was a huge reservoir of meteoric water that had been stored underneath the crust of the earth. And during the great flood, God broke up the crust of the earth along the tectonic plate boundaries, and up come these hot springs of water of the great deep broken up, where all the fountains of the great deep broken up. You can look at any reference source you want to look into, and they'll tell you that the great deep here represent the oceans and seas of the world, and what's broken up is the crust of the earth underneath it, and that is precisely what he did. And that is precisely what he did off Sumatra in the East Indies, and moved the islands and caused the earth's axis to temporarily totter because of the imbalance of the water and the massive landmass that shifted. Fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Around the periphery of the huge tectonic plate that goes all the way around the Pacific Ocean, God did something quite remarkable. Those hot springs started coming up. Volcanic eruptions started coming up. Huge, tremendous eruptions shot copious amounts of moisture through the tropopause level, through the temperature inversion that exists there, created tremendous, great, huge thunderstorms. Cumulonimbus, beyond imagination. And it began to pour down rain. And eventually, it covered the entire earth of the land of the Adamas. And the windows of heaven were open. Any reference source will tell you. That represents the earth's atmosphere, and it was open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Most biblical references of today positively identify the great deep of verse 11 as the crustal surface of the earth that underlies the seas and oceans of the world. May I remind you that God created the crust of the earth long ago. Now remember, this is just a quote from the book. This isn't something I just wrote, and is able to manipulate as he pleases. Virtually all references identify windows of heaven as the atmosphere of the earth, which was also a previous creation of God. So God took two things he had already created and manipulated them to bring forth water from above and below to destroy sinful mankind. In the approaching great tribulation period, and forgive me for continual reminding of you, but this is something that's in the book in print over 25 years ago. In the approaching great tribulation period, God will once again manipulate the crust and its atmosphere to bring forth not water, but rather fire from below and above. During the pages that follow, I will show that God intends to shake the earth to its geological foundations by his great power, and the results of that shaking will be the fulfillment of most of the destructive prophecies uttered by the Revelator John and the Old Testament prophets concerning the last days of this age. The coming tribulation period will see the greatest groaning and travail of the earth that's ever occurred since God placed man on it. I implore you. I plead with you. Not as a madman, not as an old man that has a sign on the front and a long gray beard that says the end is near, and you turn around, he's got the same thing on the back. I'm for you as a scientist, as a God-called preacher, as a student of both theology and the physical sciences. I implore you to be aware that while I cannot tell you exactly when all this hell is going to break loose, it's not in the distant future. And it's something you need to think about. If you think I'm trying to get you to turn around and serve God, you're right.
If you think I'm trying to get you to accept Christ as your Savior, you're right. If you think I'm trying to get you to unite with one of His churches and work and serve in it, you're right. But I give you before the Lord my word. It's not a personal interior motivation where I can say, oh, they joined the church. It's for your benefit. And I hope you wake up and realize that what's about to face this generation is far worse than any type of a thermonuclear holocaust. Well, what's it going to be like? Matthew 24:21. Well, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I hesitate to say this, but I've taught it for 28 years. And it's one of the things that made people think I was a madman. I told them you were going to have hundreds of tsunamis. Hundreds. During the last 3.5 years, the tribulation period. And that you might even have as many as one a month. Big ones. Anywhere on this planet. It's true, they're more conducive in the subduction zone of the West Indies and the East Indies. It's true, they're more prevalent on the West Coast than the East Coast. It's true that the coastal barrier, the coastal reef that extends off the coastal shelf that extends off the eastern part of the United States will protect it to some extent. But I've tried to tell people for 28 years, it's not going to protect them very much. Revelation 16:18. You have the first earthquake in the book of Revelation, Revelation 6:12. That's the pouring out of the sixth seal. Then after that, you have another earthquake on the seventh seal. Then you have seven trumpets. Each one filled with earthquakes, horrifying things, tsunami waves, you name it. Then you have seven vials of God's wrath, which are the worst of it all. This is the last earthquake in the book of Revelation. You say, that's never going to happen. I bow before God, stand before man, and tell you without one moment's hesitation, it is going to happen. When? Only God knows. But you better get ready for it. And whatever you intend to do with your life and whatever changes you intend to make in it, you're not going to be able to say in heaven, I just didn't believe. Listen, that's what the scriptures say. And it's coming. Romans 8:22-19. Well, we know that the whole creation, ketesis, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What's the purpose of all this? What's going to happen at the end of it? Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, same word is used, creature and creation. For the earnest expectation of the creature, Christus is used there, but up here above it, creation, it's used there. But we know that the whole creation, Christus, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature, the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Ernie just looks like old Artie. I won't call him Ernie because of the Big Bird. Not that you remind me of that, Artie. But this thing, manifestation of the sons of God. Artie just looks like Artie. I just look like a little fat, short, dumpy nerd. Charlie looks like Charlie. And Leroy looks like Leroy the red-nosed reindeer. But when the Lord comes, we're going to be changed. It's going to be manifested to all the rest of creation that we really were the sons of God, born-again believers in Jesus Christ. But I warn you, by the oracles of God, we've got a tribulation period that's facing us. It's going to be the most horrific thing we've ever faced in our lives. President Delano Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. What is the greatest fear? The greatest fear is fear of the unknown. This is not unknown to me. But Christ is known to me. So I don't worry about all this. But I do try to live for Christ. I do not try to follow His will in my life. As the writer of Philippians said, Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." The same Greek word, katistis, is used for creation and creature. I just read this. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." In context, this word refers to all the things God created except man. And it is for this that the rest of His creation is waiting to see manifested in glorified form, children of God in glorified bodies, when Christ brings them back to earth at His second advent. That occurs at the end of the tribulation period when He comes back with them. The greatest massive groaning and travailing of the earth will occur during the last 1,260 days of the tribulation period, which will be ended by the return of the saved to the earth at the second advent of Jesus. The massive local groaning and travailing of the earth's crust that produced the tsunami in the, this should be East Indies, my computer, in the East Indies is a forerunner of what we can expect on a worldwide basis during the Great Tribulation Period. We have not yet entered into the tribulation period, but I do not believe our entrance is too far in the future. The most important thing for children of God is not to know when it will occur. The most important thing for children of God is not to know when it will occur, but to be ready now for its sudden arrival, so that you will be one of those who has great rewards with Christ at His second advent. One surely needs to be in one of the Lord's churches and to be a member who is watching for Christ's coming in His lifestyle and work for the Lord, for Christ, as Jesus indicates in His warning to the church at Sardis. All I can do is tell you and show you what's coming. But as your friend, not as someone who has an ulterior motive, I tell you, you need to get your life in one of God's churches, and you need to serve in it. Revelation 3:2-4, the letter to the church at Sardis. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. I have never seen such a departure from the faith in God's true churches as I have seen in my 30 years at this church. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Turn back and invest your life and your heart in serving in one of God's churches as one of His children. "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief." I've taught this in over 800 of our churches, 21 different seminaries, all over the world. A lot of people think this is something that's in the far distant future. "We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz." No, it isn't. "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief." Now, shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. A lot of people think this is a long way off in the future. Maybe 100 years. No, it isn't. I've been saved now for 60 years. I'm going to be taken when the rapture occurs just because I've been saved by grace through faith. Doesn't have a thing in the world to do with my baptism or church membership. Right now, what am I supposed to be doing as God's child? Well, I've been baptized by immersion by the authority of one of God's churches. So why should I serve in the church? Why should I take time my valuable time to serve God in the church. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis. They were church members. If you're not a church member, I'm not telling you you're not going to heaven. If you're not baptized, I'm not telling you you're not going to heaven. Salvation is by grace through faith. But I'm telling you, in heaven, your outer garment, and the way you appear in heaven, is going to be directly proportional to how much you serve God in His church. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Well, a lot of things going on in the world today. A lot of activity. Let's deal with a question that has to be answered before anything else. You can't serve God until this is answered. Now, you're not a child of God until you can understand this. Born from above to a new body manifesting His glory. The Bible is very clear in John 3 and 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I mean, again and again means from above. That's what the God-breathed word again means. It isn't something that's an option. To go to heaven, you have to be born from above. It's a gift from above. John 6, 62, 63. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? Okay, Jesus has been crucified. He's lived a perfect life. He's kept the law. He's taken all of our sins in His own body on the tree. He's ascended up into heaven, and there He is. Well, let me show you something that's great that He left here. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit gives the new birth. The flesh profiteth nothing. You can be baptized 243 times by 16 different churches. You can go to church all your life and work your tail off. You can teach them about God and about Jesus. But unless you've been quickened by the Spirit of God, unless you've come to Jesus Christ as a helpless, sinful human being that needs a Savior and have asked Him to save you, you're as lost as a goose and headed straight for hell. The works of your flesh, your baptism, church membership, that doesn't profit anything. What does? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, you're looking at them on this screen. If you're not born again, I can't think of a better time than now to be born again. Romans 8, 14 through 39. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can't be led by the Spirit of God unless you've been born from above. How can you be led by the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit? And only the Spirit in you that God places there at the new birth can perform works that are acceptable to God according to His written word. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You sit around and worry about whether you can lose your salvation. You sit around and worry about whether you said it just the right thing, whether you did just the right thing, whether you were sincere enough, whether you were honest enough. Did you save yourself? If you think you can lose your salvation, you're still under the spirit of bondage. I've been set free in Christ. When I came to Christ, I became an adopted son of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, 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 a cry out of affection. If I had to maintain my salvation by my good works, after I was saved, how could I cry out, thank you, Father, because I would realize I might do something to slip back under the condemnation of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know I'm a child of God. Why? Because I've called upon His name. I've repented of my sins. I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. I am a child of God by grace through faith. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. I'm an heir. And joint heirs with Christ. I'm an heir, and I'm going to heaven. But what kind of a reward am I going to receive when I get there? Does it not depend on how much I'm willing to suffer and put up with the inconvenience of serving Christ? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Yes, I'm going to be glorified. What kind of a glorified body am I going to receive? What kind of an outer garment am I going to receive? What's my life going to be like in the millennial reign for 1,000 years in my glorified body? What kind of a job am I going to be given? And after that, there's eternity. You say, well, I don't ever think about things like that. Don't you believe them? You believe this building's here. You believe I'm here. You believe you're here. You believe in the things of this world. But why don't you think about 1,000 years? That's a long time, and you're going to be alive. And if you're saved, you're going to be in the millennial reign. And then you're going to go on forever. Don't you think it matters what you do after you're saved? I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about what happens when you get there. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. All of creation fell because of us, because of man. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth in the final heaven age. But we know that the whole creation draweth into veil in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. So, what's the purpose of this message? Most of you here are saved. You know the Lord. How's your service to Him? How's your worship to Him? Does He bother you about the way you're living? Do you have a nonchalant attitude toward God? Do you continually find ways to try to repudiate God's word rather than receiving it? Ephesians 4:30. This is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 72 years old, saved for 60 years, sealed until the day of redemption. Nothing I can ever do would separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, because I'm sealed at the day of redemption, and I will receive a glorified body. If you can't serve that God who seals you and keeps you by His power and sets you free to choose whether to love Him or not to love Him, then you'll never be able to serve anybody but yourself. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. If you need a Savior, there's only one. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't give yourself the new birth. I can't give it to you. This church can't give it to you. But God left His word down here, and His Son told you that even though He had ascended above, if you'd believe His word, He's safe. In this silent moment of prayer, if you want to be born again, just go to Jesus and ask Him to save you, a sinner, from your sins. If you're already saved, you've never been baptized, what do you think you should do? If you are a church member and you haven't been doing what you should, what do you plan to do? Those are things I hope you'll place between yourself and God in this silent moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I know these terrible things are coming on the earth. I know it because Your word says so. I don't know when, Heavenly Father, but Lord, from Your word and by the things that are happening, for the first time in history, I believe that the things are all in place. Lord, I know it's not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will have His will in our hearts.
and that we'll submit our wills to His. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen. As Kay comes, as the song leader comes, I've shown you God's Word. Brothers and sisters, these are trying times. These are times where it's not just a war over here or a war over there. This is where you've got absolute mass confusion across the surface of this earth. The moral status of our politicians, of world leaders, is at the lowest possible level that it could hit. It's time for judgment. I implore you, turn your life to God while we still have the time. What number, Danny?
377.
377, please stand.